Fuck You JP brings you
Phoenix City.
To Phoenix City for another week. Cam and Frosty both here with me. We're in the library, and it is another week of football to talk about. How are we doing, gents?
You probably want to elaborate on which library we were in.
Well, it's a room with lots of books in it at Frosty's work.
And so. It's called the library. It's called, true.
Well, it's actually called Discovery, but yeah. It's a
They're
library.
All named after spaceships.
So there's actually a sign on the wall that says, shush, the library is for quiet working only. So
oh, so it is the library.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, well, we are recording a podcast, which is the opposite of keeping quiet.
Yes.
It is literally talking.
Fortunately, so. There's no one else here.
Apart from the cleaner. So if you hear the vacuum cleaner going in the background, that's what that is. Mm. Had a good year so far, everybody? Have we recorded this year so far?
Yes. Yes, we did.
Last week. Oh,
did
we?
You was and it? I.
No, Frosty was there.
Oh, yeah, I was there.
Yeah, because we were all going to watch Blade Runner afterwards.
Yes, we were. That's right.
Yep. But then they decided that there were better things to do.
Probably gone a bit too long.
Did you watch Blade Runner 2049?
No, I still haven't seen
it. Oh, jeez. Yeah. You need to watch that. It's very good.
Yeah.
I told you that last week. Yeah. Let's talk about some football because there are two games to talk about. The nil draw against Adelaide and the 3-2 win over the Western Sydney Wanderers. Let's go.
And that's all we need for the nil draw.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no talking points in there at all.
Well, yeah. Let's talk about that first because it was less fun and let's get out of the way. Nil draw out of this game. Good result? Question mark?
In context, yes.
What is that, Cam?
It's your assistant.
That's your assistant.
I've got no fucking clue.
That is the biggest podcast violation that we've had. But if you, I don't know if you can hear it, but Cam's phone just started talking to him, saying, "Hi, Cam. This is your assistant. For help with what you want to do."
That was my work phone too. I've only had it a couple of weeks. So I genuinely have no idea what that was.
Excellent. Well,
it's your Google assistant.
Yeah, Google assistant wants to join on the pod this week. So, Dave, you've been replaced
by Google assistant.
Yes, I really hope the microphone picked that up. Although it was very, maybe we'll see.
I swear, I thought it was your phone.
I literally heard it say, "Hi, Cam," and I knew whose phone it was. Do you know how I knew whose phone it was?
Because I'm the only one here called Cam.
It said Cam, yeah, yes.
No, fair call.
What were we talking about? The nil draw.
Yeah.
Fair result. Good result. Yeah, good result. Question mark? In context.
As far as in context, yes. Yeah. I think going into that game, I would have happily taken a draw. And going off the performance I saw, we nicked the point. Mm. So, yes. Very, very good point.
Yeah, I don't know what camp we're all in on this because I've seen a very strong camp saying that we ground out an excellent result there and we did really well and we defended well. But I kind of disagree wholeheartedly with that. I think we defended poorly.
Kind of wholeheartedly.
Well, yeah. I was trying to numb it down. I think we stole a point here.
Yes.
And we should have lost this 2-3-0.
Yes, totally.
And we didn't do that by putting backs to the wall and defending well. We did that in parts, but the only reason that we got a point out of this is that Adelaide were completely wasteful with the ball and their chances. They had how many chances, and none of them were really great chances, or the few chances they did have, they skied or put straight at a defender or things like that.
There was a lot of chances inside the box.
Yeah.
They just didn't get it on target.
I blame their horrendous finishing and Kurto being excellent.
Yeah, Kurto was really, really good, but I think that what killed them is that they don't play with a striker. They've got no legitimate striker up there, and it's bit them all season.
Yeah.
They just can't score when they should.
Do you think we defended well, though?
I think we got bodies in the way, and we scrambled and we fought. I don't think we defended smart. I think we got a little lucky, but we put in the effort.
I think the back three did a serviceable job. I think the issues with the defending came further up the field. So any mistakes they were making were because they were being overloaded with workload because the guys in front of them weren't doing what they should have been
doing.
Well,
the entire last 15 minutes was just straight defence, especially after the red card. There was no respite
and
anywhere.
And Rufa couldn't afford to be throwing himself around either, because he had a yellow as well. So
I agree.
I just don't understand. I guess I do understand where people are coming from when they say that this was one of the great Phoenix away draws. Or
I agree. But. I agree. It was a fantastic point, and we did definitely grind out the point and steal it. Steal that and cost Adelaide too.
But it wasn't – we didn't put an outstanding shift in. We didn't
– It wasn't good football.
No, there's no good football plays.
It was a good mental and physical effort. Just wasn't great football.
Even before the red card, we were dire. Yes. Like, Adelaide were all over us and creating chances left, right and centre, and we couldn't string two or three passes together.
No.
And I don't know what the stats of the game say, but they will probably reflect that.
There was a little bit of that. I think that with Adelaide not playing regular strikers, they've been able to get overloads in midfield because they've got effectively people that drop back from their front line into that midfield zone, so they're getting like six players across through that midfield, and they can create overloads and then get it out back three. But that's the problem, is that they never really got in behind our back three convincingly. They just got in front of them and were able to shoot. And unless you're good with the ball at your feet, a good shooter, when you've got someone in front of you and the keeper to beat before you can get to the goal, you're not going to score most of the time. And that's the way we kind of rode our luck, was that we got bodies in the way. Curto was good, and they weren't convincingly hitting the ball.
Well, I think the key here is that their shot accuracy was horrendous. We had 9 block shots, which was a brilliant effort, excellent effort. There's a lot more than
that
you're
able to. But it was just in that traffic and around the penalty spot. Yep. I just rewatched the highlights, and it was just this relentless, from Monday getting dismissed, was this relentless, 9, 10, 12 players all inside basically the box, just kicking at the ball like a under nines game.
They had 32 shots in the game, and 26 of them were from within the box.
Yeah.
Which says absolutely everything you need to know about that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So about the red card?
Yeah.
Red card, yes.
100%,
yep.
Yes.
Yep, totally. Easy. I'm in the same boat.
Yeah.
Serious foul play or violent conduct?
Violent for me.
Violent conduct for me.
You don't think it's a challenge for the ball?
No.
I think he's gone to get the ball.
That makes it a challenge for the ball.
I don't think he's had any intent to play just the ball.
Sure, but... Okay,
but that, by definition, therefore, does make it...
Serious foul play.
Serious foul play.
No. I mean, for me, the intent there is to swing through. He's gone running in, and he's made.
Bear in mind that the yardstick for a red card for serious foul play is excessive force using a challenge for the ball. That is pretty much the definition of what I saw there, I think.
Absolutely.
But you also say it's violent conduct.
I say it's violent conduct because I don't think he was playing for the ball.
Fair.
Yeah. I say if he was, definitely it's excessive force, but I do not think at any point he has decided to go for the ball. He is basically, Vinny's got under his skin. They've both been at each other in the game, with the bants, with the nigger, with the fouls, and so on and so forth. And Vinny's got under Mandy's skin, and Mandy has reacted incredibly poorly to that, seen an opportunity to take a man out, and has gone for it.
Yeah.
The problem I have in this situation, if he intended to play the ball and had any thought for the player on the ground, he doesn't swing through.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely agree that this is a red card. I don't think there is anybody out there saying that this shouldn't be a red.
Oh, there is. There's quite a few people thinking. Okay. Yeah, loads of them. And I have no idea why they think that. Because there's as a minimum, as you say, it's serious foul play. As a minimum, it's serious foul play.
Yeah, I think that's the important factor.
But the key for me here is that if you are going towards a player who in that position and there's a ball where that ball was, if you're playing that ball, you don't swing for it. You go in and you either toe poke it or you try and drag it back. Like, that's what you do.
Like Libby actually does. Libby toe pokes it out.
Exactly. When Mundy gets there, Libby has already played that ball through. There is no need for him to swing. There's no need for him to try and go for any kind of ball because it's not there.
But it happens immediately before he kicks. He's already in the swing.
No.
It doesn't matter, Pat. Honestly, he could have 100% stopped himself from doing that.
Sure.
He could 100% have had a different decision made where he doesn't swing like that at someone's ribs. Because I know I've been in that position where someone's on the ground when I've been playing in social football, and I'm not going swinging through to them. No. I'm going in to try and drag it back or toe poke it through so I don't hurt the guy.
I agree, it's a dick move. And no matter what you say here, it's a red card on the field. But the only difference is going to be the suspension.
Yes, I actually think he got off lightly.
Well, 3 games.
Yes.
I don't think so. I think three games is fair for a normal violent conduct thing. I think
the problem
here, to be honest, I think there should be two games of serious foul play, because I think the ball is there to be challenged for. And if we are going to start deeming challenges where the ball outside of someone's control just before the challenge comes in disappears, means that that's now violent conduct. Imagine if it's a studs up tackle and the player kicks the ball away just before the ball's the studs arrive. Does that turn that into violent conduct? I think it's a very slippery slope that they're treading with deeming things violent conduct when the ball was there to be played.
I think the problem here, you have to look at intent in this position.
Sure, but as intent
is to
wholeheartedly believe, no, is to kick the ball into Vinny.
No.
100% no.
No, because
his intent, he is intending on kicking Vinny Lea in the ribs.
Even if he connected with the ball, it was there, his boot was always going to follow through and hit Vinny.
Not if the ball's in the way.
No.
He is getting Vinny. No matter what happens, he is getting Vinny.
There is boot to player. It's every time.
Certainly not the smart decision to make on the field, and it should have cost us the point, to be honest.
Yes, 100% agree.
Because Adelaide should have won that game, and the only reason that we didn't lose that was because Adelaide were very poor. But they still played us off the park. That was the worrying thing for me across this game, was that we showed nothing of the team that just came off that draw against the Victory. We showed nothing like that team. Against a weaker side, we looked awful across the whole 90 minutes. Not just the 15 minutes that Mundy was off. Across the 90 minutes, we looked poor.
The balance of those statistics doesn't happen in the final 15 minutes.
No,
the balance
exactly.
of those statistics happen over that 90
minutes. Yeah.
They've effectively had one shot every 3 minutes in that entire game, and we've had one shot every 22 and a half minutes.
Yeah, which is having a shot every 22 and a half minutes, that's normal for a game sometimes.
It's normal for a game if you're second best against a very good team.
Yeah.
It's not normal for a game where you're playing the team that is exactly the same record as you on the league. You're away, sure, so they should theoretically be more dominant than you in that game. But
we're also on the up and there on the slide. So while the two teams were even on the table, and I think the results since have shown that actually we are on the up and they're on the down. We should have been able to take that game away.
They haven't had a result since then.
Have they not? Mm-hmm. But they definitely shouldn't have outplayed us like they did. That was disappointing to see.
Yeah. I wonder if it's a case, and I haven't been back and had reviewed the tactics or anything that Adelaide put in play and what they were actually trying to achieve. I wonder if it just happens to be the way that they play football suits playing the way we play football.
No, I don't think so. From what I saw of that game, we were unable to repel them, unable to stop them moving the ball forward through the midfield easily. And then when we did have the ball, we were just very poor with it. We weren't passing well. We weren't making good decisions. We weren't doing anything of the sort to create our own football the way that we've been playing other games. I don't think it was the fact that Adelaide were good at all.
What do we put this down to? It's very odd, but theoretically, to be fair, we'd played 5 games prior to that. We had played very, very well. In this unbeaten run that we've been on, those 5 previous games, we had played very well in almost all 90 minutes of those games. Is it that we've just got to the end of that cycle and this was our bad game?
I genuinely don't know. I think if it is a bad game, it's a poor one, because like I said earlier, we should have lost that 2-3-0.
Comfortably, possibly more.
And that is worry signs for the rest of what we've been seeing. Yeah. Hark back to what I said a few weeks ago, where back then, this has probably changed now, but back then we still hadn't shown enough to say that we were this team that could do this for the rest of the season. We had shown a few good performances, but some performances that weren't as good, and even minutes within those performances that wasn't as good. This was one of those terrible games.
Mm. But let's take a step back and have a look at historically the rest of the A-League. Even when the top teams in the league, it's very rare that they go through and just skin entire, the rest of the competition the same way that Perth has. You think about Victory.
Barcelona.
Yeah.
Even they lost a game.
Yeah. I mean, we've beaten Victory by 3, like 5-2, and they've gone on to win the league. So the A-League does throw up those little hiccups, and I think that to kind of deep dive, and you're just going to overanalyze things, and you just got to accept that some days you have a bad game and the other team has a good game. And fortunately, when that happened, we still got a draw. I'll take that every day.
We'll move on to the second game now, because it's much more fun to talk about this one. Do you think that we showed enough in the game against the Wanderers to say that this was a one-off and this isn't actually the way that we play and we weren't riding our luck in the other games?
We improved significantly, I think is a nice way of putting it. I don't think we were as good as we had been the previous games.
No, I think we were much better against the Victory, and we were much better in Sydney. The 3 wins prior to that as well, than we were against Wanderers. I think we got lucky.
I don't think we got lucky. I think that they are a very sloppy, out of form unit, and we were a little shell shocked. And fortunately, the longer the game went, the more we got our shit together and then played ourselves in.
So we hit the post, I think, in the first half, which was great. So it shows that we were creating some sort of stuff. Krishna hit the post, but they also had a penalty overruled by VAR.
Never should have got.
They had the ball in the back of the net, which was given offside, and I think we... Oh, no, actually, that one was.
No, that
was
offside.
That's still creating an opportunity there where we stepped up when we shouldn't have stepped up. We should have played the ball, and that almost cost us.
I would very much like for us to never use a set move ever again.
Yeah.
That was far too close.
Yes.
Like, when you watch that set move, you should be making those players a good metre offside.
Yeah.
And clearly a metre offside.
That was barely a step.
Yeah.
Barely a step. There was, like, you're talking half a second in the movement of the bodies.
I think if the flag didn't go up here, I don't think VAR would be overruling this goal.
It would, because it was clearly off.
It was the bodies that I did a hand motion to say that the body's leaning one way, body's leaning the other way. But yeah, I hope we never do this again. That was fucking ballsy and I didn't like it.
And they also had the clear one-on-one where Kudos made that excellent save in the second half. So,
but again,
that was poor attacking. That was straight at Kudo.
No, it wasn't. He made a diving left-handed one. So it was a very good play by Kudo. And it wasn't the best finish, I'll concede that, but it wasn't poor striking work. Yeah. It was just a
good
save.
It's the A-League.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I genuinely think we got lucky. I think they could have had another couple, won that game, and deservedly won that game.
It was disappointing that we kept blowing our leads.
Almost immediately after both goals.
Yeah. I think the first one was 6 minutes later we conceded.
Yeah.
And that was just down to a mistake by Kurta. And the second one we conceded literally a minute after we scored what should be a winner in the last 10 minutes of the game.
But that we scored some stunning goals. All three of our goals were excellent goals.
The first goal was Singh's little ball over to Louis, who controlled it and then tapped it through.
Louis' run before that as well was really nice. Yeah. He got everyone standing still by going across the field, little short pass to Singh, and then changed and made that straight run.
Yeah, changed and chips and onto the perfect run that Louis made.
Yeah.
And then
the control with the chest.
The holding off that defender. He really showed a bit of a strong core there because he was giving away 10 or 15 kilos and just held him off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good. That's the Louis Fenton I remember. The Louis Fenton I remember why the Phoenix signed him in the first place.
Yeah.
Because he was doing that sort of stuff for Team Wellington and then in the VPL before we signed him. So, yeah.
I am just going to say I fucking told you.
When did you tell me? Frosty?
At the beginning of the season, everyone was going on that Fenton isn't necessarily going to be the player he was.
I'm really glad that 18 months ago there was a footballing decision made that Louis would go and play elsewhere for 12 months.
I think that helped him end. I think that was a great decision.
Perfect decision.
Yep.
Because it meant that he came back.
He could heal and he could get minutes under his belt.
But that was the thing. He'd showed that he can play the A-League and he can be a good A-League player before he got injured.
Yeah.
So
he just needed minutes.
Yeah, he needed minutes. He needed rehab. He needed to get it, grass under boots. But I don't think you ever stop being a bad player. The most you'll get, you might lose your mental edge. But
and he did for a little while where he would be running forward with the ball and consistently cut back when actually just backing himself and going for goal or going for the bottom was the right, potentially better decision. He doesn't do that anymore. He now looks to try and get in the box every time.
I think that's our change in style, though. I don't think that's Louis.
I think it's both. I think it's a change in mentality brought on by the fact that he's given that freedom to play like that.
I think it comes down to Rudan actually boosting the guy's confidence as part of his man management as well. Say, you are good enough to do this. Back yourself. Yeah. Go for it. You have my blessing.
That's good to see.
Yeah.
Mm. The Wanderers goal.
From a corner. Kurto made an error here.
It's his first mistake in 12 games.
It's not his first mistake in 12 games.
It's the first mistake that's cost us a goal.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, an A-League goalkeeper that gets you to 12 games before conceding a messy goal, I'll take that every day. How am I an optimist?
It's actually quite weird because it's not the first time that we've conceded that goal either, because we did against Bentley Greens in the FFA Cup, almost identical.
But Sale was in goal for that one, right?
No, Kurto was in goal for that one. Okay. He comes out, the defender's clicked on and it's gone into the bar. So
one thing it happens. He made a decision to come, and once he makes that decision, he needs to try and get there. Mm. And
one thing I noticed was that he made the same mistake in the Adelaide game, and I rewatched the highlights before, is that he came for a corner and missed it by a fair margin.
This one wasn't a fair margin, though. This one was very close. And the
By fair margin, I mean as in more than, you know, basically a foot.
Yeah. Okay.
If you're coming for a keeper, you need to get gloves on it.
Yeah, I mean,
a foot is a long way if you're coming.
Yeah. While I prefer my keepers don't make these mistakes, we've had goalkeepers in the past few seasons making these mistakes every second or third week. But to go half the season essentially with Kurdo only making one mistake that's cost us a goal, I'm fine with that. It's a tough position. As a goalkeeper, you make a mistake, a goal gets scored usually. And for the first time this season, even on this one, I saw Kurt coming and I'm like, sweet, he's going to punch that away. And it was a shock when he didn't. Mm. Previous goalkeepers, I'd be like, okay, you're coming. That's an interesting decision. Mm. All right, there's the goal. We all saw that coming, but not this time around. Not with Kurt.
Do you know what? He's cost us a goal in that game, which didn't cost us any points.
No.
He has earned us at least five of the points we've got currently by the saves that he has made.
He's probably the best import slot that we've spent this season.
Yes. And you think of the keepers that we've got in the league?
Yeah.
Can you think of one that you'd have ahead of Kurdo?
The only one that you can make an argument for.
Lawrence Thomas, maybe?
The only one that you can make an argument for is Lawrence Thomas.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't. I'd go Jamie Young. I think he's better than the Raw.
Can concede the odd one as well.
But he's still good. But I wouldn't actually have him.
No.
I would still choose Kurdo.
I would choose Kurdo. If I had Kurdo and Lawrence Thomas both on my team, we'd have a struggle picking which one you want to start.
Yeah.
But he's the only other keeper in the league that I'd have that problem with. Mm. It's an upgrade on the Moss Italiano situation by far.
Mm. And how often have we been able to say we have a good goalkeeper? Not just he can hold his own.
I was like, there was a period where Mossy was that.
Mossy was that, and Paston had his moment as well.
It was Mossy in the Paston days, not Mossy that we had recently.
Yeah, Mossy in the just past Paston days.
Yeah.
When he came back from Gold Coast and
the start of the Ernie era.
Yeah.
Mossy at the start of the Ernie era.
Yeah, which is about around then.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've had 3 or 4 years where the joint has been stunk up.
Well, yeah, even with Mossy in his later years and especially with Italiano and Keegan Smith, I'll take Kurdo any day of the week. It wasn't even the worst goalkeeper mistake of the game because Janjinovic coming away and giving away our second goal was just awful. Well, Janjinovic has done that already this season where he came out, I can't remember who it was against, came out and he ends up trying to palm away the shot from outside the box and gets sent off for it, red card. Newcastle or I can't remember who it was.
No, I do remember him doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it in my head.
When he has come out and dived to save.
Yeah, dive to the shot.
There seems to be this. I noticed that Reedy did the same thing in the against Taggart. He's come when there was a defender there. It was in his box, but there was no reason to go.
And he's taken the defender out, hasn't he?
Yeah, Taggart, he absolutely flattened him.
Yeah.
There was another. I think it might have been Janjinovic the week before. He's done the same thing. He's gone winging past him and has just gone, someone mistimed a hit. The keeper came out and he mistimed the header.
It's the sweeper keeper phenomenon, isn't it? They want to be Manuel Neuer, but they're playing in the A League, not the Bundesliga. There's a reason for it. Yeah. So,
well, Kurdo had a Neuer moment where he came out and I think he headed the ball just outside the box or something like that, where he was essentially sweeping like that and it worked fine.
But if you're going to come, it has to be a high percentage
and you have to get the ball.
Yes.
And
no matter what.
Yeah. And more than that, you cannot hit it up the middle.
Mm. Yeah, because it comes straight back.
Yeah. You basically clear it out. You go to the sideline. Yeah. You buy that time so they've got to get the throw in.
Hitting it straight down the middle costs much better keepers than ours. I mean, last season, the Man City goalkeeper Edison did the same thing as Liverpool and conceded from halfway for just that reason. That's why you don't do it down the middle. But that, I'll just say, the Killian Sheridan's goal, ball through to Krishna was glorious.
I mean, what did we want from Killian? We want goals. He hasn't scored any yet, but
he's played 20 minutes.
Exactly. He's played 20 minutes. We'll give him a little bit of a cut on that. We wanted him to link well. He's shown that he can play a long ball.
Yeah.
And with the other ball that he set Burgess away for the cross for the third goal.
Yes.
That little back heel.
Yeah. Yes. That was
He's shown us vision. He's got short pass, long pass. He's got a good work rate.
He's got a hell of a shot on him too. Look at that left foot volley that he struck. My God, that was struck.
He has long levers.
But that ball he's played to Krishna was the same ball that Singh played to Krishna for him to score against Sydney. Exactly that same pass. And Krishna runs between the two central defenders, gets the ball. This time, he doesn't get the ball quite as early, obviously, but Janjinovic gives us the opportunity to score the goal. The finish from Roy that was something special because he had a lot to do there to get the ball in the back of the
net. Yeah, that first touch to go around Jedovic was not tidy. He did what it needed.
He was under pressure from the cover and from a defender as well, so you can understand why it's not the best touch.
But this is probably a one out of ten chance of kicking that in the back of the net.
I'd say it's higher for a professional footballer, but if I was trying it, that's going nowhere near the goal.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also because he hit it with his right foot, it's curling away from the goal. And so
hit it with his left.
Did he?
Yeah. It was curling away.
It was curling away, but he hit it with
curling
his left.
Oh, sorry. You're right. Left foot curling away. Right foot would have curled in. Yeah, yeah.
Not right. Correct. Right, left, correct.
Oh, you know what you're doing. Yeah. You're still a dick. Yeah. but to hit it with the left foot, have it curling away, and have it to nestle exactly where he needed to in the net, like, I didn't think this was going in.
No, I thought there's no way he's going
to
get
his touch was wrong. I think he needed to take another one, bring it towards the goal, and then shoot. But to shoot and nail like that, that was some hit. Yep. Like, it'll get downplayed because it was an empty goal, and you needed to give it away. But this was needed to be a tidy finish, and it was.
That was an excellent piece of work by Roy.
Obviously, we've then gone undone it all by
scrappy goal. A lovely finish.
Yeah, it was second ball from the corner, just falling to the feet of Kadubakis, who lashed into the top of the net. Mm. Disappointing to fade so quickly after taking the lead.
Yes.
Was the thing
and
about
another
one.
Corner.
Mm. Yeah.
But in saying that, because I was just watching the highlights waiting for you guys, I noticed that Wanderers in that game the previous round, they were winning everything in the air, absolutely everything.
And they weren't really in this game. Like, even this goal here, they had to fight for it. It was a second ball that normally would have it covered. But
I think the reason for that is they've lost Oriol Riera after 41 minutes, I think. So as soon as
and Balmiohan.
Yeah, well, he went out after 6 minutes, but he's not really the guy that wins the ball in the air.
No.
He's more of your creative player in midfield, and he's gone after 6 minutes. But they lost Ariel Riera after 41 minutes, right after they scored their equaliser.
Yeah.
He goes off before the ball kicked off again and with an injury, and I think that's why, because he wins a lot of ball in the air.
Before we move on, I've got some...
we haven't talked about the third goal yet.
Oh, yeah, true, but I've got some stats from Matt Weldon-Smith, Yackle, a new segment called Yak Stats.
Yak Stats.
Stackle?
No, I like Yak Stats. Either that or it's Stat Yak, one of those two.
I like Yak Stats.
Yak Stats is good.
Yak Stats. That's the first time we've beaten the Wanderers in just under 3 years.
It's ridiculous.
Last time we beat them was games, February 2016.
Six games we haven't beaten them.
Yeah.
But the last time we beat them was the 5-2 when Powell got four goals.
Yeah. This is 19 points from our first 12 games. The only other time that we've done that was
14-15
and we are on the same number of points now as we were after round 27 last year. So at the end of the season last year, we're on 19 points, and we're already there after 12.
And we didn't get the spoon last year either.
No, exactly. We came over.
Thanks to our last round win against City, because if we hadn't won that, the spoon was ours. We were 10th for 20 weeks of the season or something like that.
Yeah, and this is the best start ever in terms of just the away games for us. Also tied with 2014-15, 9 points from 6 games. Although we've only lost one this time around, whereas in that season it was 3 wins, 3 draws. 3 wins, 3 losses.
I'll take this, the draws, because...
Yeah, totally.
And having those undefeated runs, because it takes more points off the people around that you're playing, but it also breeds confidence. Like, you might get the same number of points out of 6 games by having 3 wins and, you know, no draws than you do by having, you know, 2 wins and 3 draws. But the confidence you have from losing only once on the road,
that consistency,
that counts for a whole lot more.
I mean, speaking with the defender's mindset, if you're winning and losing and you're just... Because let's face it, we're going to concede goals. Mm. But if we're conceding these high number of goals that we'd need to lose, it would not be fun to know that you get riding this Jekyll and Hyde kind of high and low. Yep. It's like, we need to score 3 and because we're going to concede 2. And it's like, will that mean enough to, you know, game by game, you just don't know what the hell's going to happen. But, to basically lose one of your 6 away games...
Yeah,
that's solid.
Shit, that every day I'll take that.
We've only lost 3 games this season so far, and they were 3 in a row.
Yeah,
We had the win, the draw at the start, and 3 losses in a row, and that's it for losses this season, which is a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah,
when you think about it, but the fact that we didn't lose the Adelaide game was ridiculous.
Well, this is kind of why I think I'm possibly a bit more optimistic than you guys, because
I'm not used to this. Stop it.
Yeah,
well,
I know.
I'm not optimistic. I just think that we are still a 5th-6th place team.
Well, we are at the moment.
I'm comfortable with that.
But let's have a look at what we've done. We've got you know, we've got club high stats coming out. We've got we're undefeated 5 of 6 away games. We're still picking up points despite the fact that we're all consistently saying we're not actually playing that well. And if you're not playing well and still picking up points, still going undefeated, and you know you've got an area to improve, I mean, from a coaching perspective, you've got to be going, actually, we can do something this year. It's not just 5th and 6th we're playing for. If we can improve, we can be start challenging for 3 and 4, maybe get a better draw.
I think we've been trained as Phoenix supporters to not get too ahead of us.
Totally.
Yeah. The amount of people based in Australia who are saying that actually the Phoenix are the team to watch and the Phoenix are the story of the season so far and or becoming the story of the season so far.
We certainly
says
are
something.
Because of the turnaround that we've had in our form.
Not just our form, but our form compared to the last 4 years of Phoenix teams.
Exactly. And also what appears to be a fantastic belief within the squad. And what I think the big thing here is what the Aussies want Mark Rudan to succeed. I think that's half the thing. He's got a lot of people there on his side because they like him, and he's always been in public life for a long time. So I think there's that angle is kind of helping us in that regard as well. Yeah. The only people that really don't want him to succeed is Western Sydney Wanderers fans.
No, but they don't really care either.
They don't care about much.
They
don't like Sydney people.
Yeah.
I was just going to pivot a little bit and say that there's kind of like three things that I think are going to be interesting kind of going forward as far as improvement goes, and that's kind of what happens when and if our form dips. And I think that the Adelaide game kind of showed us that they're mentally tough enough that if they play play bad, they don't put their heads down, they still keep trying. The other thing was recruitment. And let's face it, Killian looks the biz. He's managed to make us think he's the biz in 20 minutes.
Recruitment generally this season has been excellent. You look
exactly
like we filled 4 import slots. One is Kurto, best signing in a long time. Taylor, second best signing in a long time. Mundy, we fucking miss him at the moment. And now Killian.
And Copper.
You're right.
Started very poorly, but seemed to be coming into a bit of form.
But also,
he was also doing a different role, and we've worked out what role he needs to do now.
Yes.
So.
And you wouldn't call him a failure.
No,
he might
be
a 5 out of 10 sort of territory.
But he's no Toto by far.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And when was the last time we had 5 imports that we went, actually, yeah.
You're doing all right.
Yeah, that's a fair question.
And 5 imports all signed this season.
Yeah, exactly.
Very high chance of one going wrong.
But now we need a bit of that depth to kind of cover the yellows that we're
picking. That's the thing. We'll get to them soon.
Yeah,
we'll get to the Mariners game soon.
There's one more thing I want to. Do you guys hear Mark Rudan yelling at the end of the game?
Oh, and at the goal.
Oh,
at JP.
Fuck yeah. Fuck you, JP.
yeah.
Oh, outstanding.
And then
how salty was that, the meeting between them?
It's like, they had words afterwards.
Yeah, I'd like to know what the history is there, but I don't think we're ever going to find out. We should really talk about that third goal before we sign off.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah. Who played the ball to Killian?
It's Burgess. Burgess plays it to him.
And
then peels off and runs back.
No, there's another person because
Burgess makes the run.
Burgess must play it further back first, and then
it was either Roofer or Singh is play. Yeah. Burgess has it, plays it back to either Roofer or Singh, who then plays it straight to Killian, who does that beautiful little flick behind his leg. So, and Burgess is like, "Oh, I can get that," and then runs onto it. He's obviously trying to hold on the line.
Yeah,
the ball he puts in is brilliant.
Oh yeah,
it's perfect.
I think Killian's got a little bit lucky with his back heel. He knows what he's trying to do and got a little bit lucky. Whereas Burgess's ball is inch perfect.
Yeah,
he knows exactly where he wants to put that, and anywhere else.
Yeah.
That's not a goal.
No. And to be fair, even there, I didn't think it was going to be.
No.
I didn't think it was.
The defender should have had it covered.
Yeah. And so the keeper should have done better. Yeah. Was saying,
Hamill kind of opens himself up and lets it happen. I don't think he realizes that Krishna's there. I think it's an easy take. I think he thinks it's an easy take for Nijovic.
Yeah. I think he was leaving it for the keeper. And I think the keeper was expecting him to hit it.
Yeah.
And Krishna's just nipped in and said, yoink.
I thought that the hand of Nijovic had done enough to hit it onto the crossbar and back out again.
Yeah. That's what it looked like on the footage. I agree.
Obviously, it ended up in the back of the net.
That was brilliant.
Wonder the fact that I don't think – was it Hamill? I don't think I don't think he realised Krishna was there. And I wonder if maybe the defence was more worried about the 6'5" monster as far as, you know, balls being played in the air. They were kind of more worried about where's he rather than where's Krishna. And I think that might be interesting going forward, is it see how many defenders he's pulling –
I'd also like to see
he did win a few headers.
I disagree. I think that it's actually Chris's speed that wins this for him.
I think the same point.
Is it Chris? I want to say it was Fenton in there as well, but I don't think it was Fenton. Whoever else was in the box, they're actually the other way around. It's Fenton. I'll say it's Fenton. I don't think it was. Maybe it was. Fenton's near post and Krishna's far post, and they actually switch as his ball is coming in. Krishna runs towards the near post and the other player drags the guy wide. I think it was just Christian's pace that causes this, not we wonder. I think it was, he was just quicker than anybody thought he was going
to
be.
I was about to say, I'd like to go back and have a look at what you've just described. So thanks, Pat.
There you go.
Yeah, perfect.
Now you know what happened.
Yeah.
Funny that switching posts for crosses in, that's a drill that our football team won a training session with Paul Eiffel, and that was one of the drills that he did with us.
Could you achieve it?
Yeah, it's when you're doing unmarked training, it's pretty easy.
Yeah, true. Did it ever work on the field?
We scored pretty quickly with that team, so.
Oh, fair enough.
A lot, if I recall rightly.
Well, it sounds like you didn't need training session with Paul Eiffel, but.
I think anybody needs a training session with Paul Eiffel, mate.
He was on one leg and he was still reasonable.
He's played games on the A-League on one leg and been very reasonable. Yeah. So. The other games of the round, Sydney FC bounced back against the Mariners thanks to a red card to Khalifa Cisse.
That's a story all on its own.
Yeah, so it was 1-0 to the Mariners at this point. Connor Payne goal had them 1-0 up, and then Cisse decides that he decided he'd been fouled, picked the ball up essentially, handled it, got called against, and then kicks the ball away in frustration. Clear yellow. Happy the ref's given that. Like, there was plenty of opportunity for him not to kick it, and he still kicked it. And then to go and put in a challenge, which was a very clear yellow card, where he's lunging and collects a player.
Two-footed.
Yeah.
And late.
Exactly. Like, that was
and possibly the last defender.
That's a little bit iffy,
but
certainly an easy yellow card. The referee had no choice. To then swear at your coach and your assistant coach.
Yeah, he's gone.
And to have words with them when you've just put your side, who's not won a game all season, lost every single game since round two or whatever it is, round one or two, to put your side under that pressure against one of the best teams in the league, and then to swear at your coach, like, what are you doing? You're an idiot. He should be one of the level heads. He's brought in as an older player to provide some experience.
But even if the coach is swearing at you, you've got to take it.
Yeah, that's on you. Anyway, Sydney FC bounced back big time in the second half. Alex Brosk with a hat-trick. Lafondra and Aaron Culver. And Aaron Culver's goal, I think, was a pick of the bunch at the end to make it 5-2. Brisbane.
Well, Brosk's chip was quite tidy as well.
Yes, it was. First time Brosk has got a hat-trick in the league, which surprised me.
He's still a but.
100%. I have to bleep that out. Fuck. Damn it, Frosty.
I'm right, though.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Melbourne Victory had a 2-1 win over the Western Sydney Wanderers. That was on Saturday night before they played us. ANZ Stadium has not been a happy hunting ground for them. Ola Toivonen with both the goals for...
Yeah, the first goal was really nice.
Oh, yeah?
Really nicely worked. Yeah. The second goal was it bounced up to Toivonen from 2 yards
and
out, and he chested it in.
Oh, wow. Melbourne City, he got a 2-1 win over the Jets. I think the Jets went 1-0 up in this as well. Yeah, Roy O'Donovan, and then two goals to McGree and Luke Bratton, and a red card to Ronald Vargas.
Yeah, that was dumb as well.
He was like mailing out the ref or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, he picked up a yellow for a stupid tackle, then... went screaming at the ref for something else.
Yeah,
told him
it was a handball. He gave him a handball for the penalty.
Oh, yeah.
And he was yelling at him to fuck off.
He told him to fuck off 3-4 times.
Sweet.
And got a second yellow for a dissent.
Yeah.
So I can't really argue with
that. Makes sense.
Good on the ref.
Pretty sure that was the one Delatt, it looked like Delatt kicked out in the game as well. It was just.
You just let VAR pick that up.
Oh, but they didn't. It was just so much stupid going on.
Yeah. Perth Glory bounced back after being turned out in the half to beat Brisbane Roar 4-2. That's the second big comeback in the second half of the round. Adam Taggart got two goals to put the Roar 4-2 up.
And missed a penalty.
Right at the end. I'll come to that. Two penalties to Neil Kilkenny, an own goal by Aaron Redden, who gave away the second penalty. And Andy Keogh wrapped it out, and then Adam Taggart right at the death, the last kick of the game, I think.
Oh, pretty close too, yeah.
Missed a penalty.
Off the crossbar.
Yeah.
And apparently the reason he wasn't on penalties for Brisbane, but he only got the penalty because of his hat trick.
Yeah.
And apparently in training he'd been drilling them off the crossbar. He managed to do it in the game. So, yeah, like training, like game.
Crossbar would have been an improvement on this. At least you have a chance on the rebound.
Well, Daniel Bowles actually clipped the crossbar on the way through.
Yeah, Daniel Bowles got sent off for denying Val's screen opportunity for the first penalty that kicked it all off. So it was very much against 10 men all that happened. Any other games in the same round as what we just started? Yes, apparently. Newcastle Jets and Brisbane Roar had 2-2 draw. No, that's from earlier. A-League app. Being weird again.
There's a couple of games tonight, I think.
One game tonight, one game tomorrow, one... No, what's going on here? This must be a weird round. Yeah, there's one tonight. Anyway. This round's all over the place, apparently. Let's talk about the Central Coast Mariners game, because I think we're going to lose this one against the Mariners. I think this is when the Mariners are going to bounce back and win, and we're going to bottle this. We are missing Rufa and Mundy in the midfield. We're going to have a midfield of Kopchinski and probably Nichols. The Mariners have actually been looking pretty good recently and been somewhat unlucky given circumstance to have not picked up any points since round 3. I think this is the one where we fuck it up. Classic Phoenix, we fuck it up.
See, there's a lot on this. Because you've now gone 7 games undefeated, you are right in the middle of January, everyone's back, you've got the best chance of dragging a crowd, especially with the 27 grand they'll give away if they crack 10,000.
And kids go free.
I genuinely think they'll crack 10,000 this weekend. And if they win, give away that 27... Oh, no, just give away that 27 grand. The 4 games after this... In fact, 6 of the 7 games after this are against Victory, Sydney, Perth and Melbourne City. So we've got a lot of top games against the top teams to come in a very short period of time. A win in this game will put us close to 10 points clear of, or could be 10 points clear of Newcastle, which would be massive with those massive games.
Newcastle in 7th place.
Exactly. And because I'm still looking purely at the
top six. 8th place, yeah. Adelaide was within touching distance.
6th. They're in 6th place.
Oh, okay, sorry.
They could go ahead of us if they win tonight against Victory. So there's a lot riding on it. And because of the suspensions, I think it's going to be tougher than it looks on paper.
Yeah, I don't think we can go into this going. It's only the Mariners, the bottom of the table, they'll be shit. Because they haven't been shit. No. They've taken leads against most teams this season. I think 6 of their games that they've lost, they've actually gone up 1-0. Mm. The Sydney game was another great example of it. They were looking okay until the second half, and they were playing with 10 men for large portions of that game. I think we can't be complacent about this whatsoever.
No, I think the real issue for us is that we've lost our 2 defensive midfielders, and their best player has been, by a long way, Connor Payne, who is a guy that drops deeper and runs.
Yep.
And runs a team with the ball at his feet. So I think that's going to be a real issue for whoever plays in defensive mid. I have a feeling, I can almost guarantee they'll put Nichols in there with Copper. I am almost hoping that I'd prefer to see Kakache go in there. That's his normal position. He's only been playing fullback since he made the first squad.
Yeah, you see, the problem I have there is if Kakache goes in to play with Copper, you've got to put Doyle out on the left,
You play Way.
Yeah, no, that's a fair call. I forgot about Ruben Way.
Ruben Way was sitting at Paul King's watching the last game with me.
Yep.
I don't think there's much of a chance of him going straight into the starting 11 for this game.
Yeah, but at the start of the last game, Alex Rufa wasn't suspended, whereas now he is. And 2 games on Monday wasn't suspended.
The only other choice is Lowry goes into the back 3.
No, I think it's much more likely that Lowry or Fox.
It's not going to be Fox. We know that it's not going to be Fox.
Yeah, it could be Fox, I think.
Well, Lowry hasn't played since he got wrongly sent off.
Fox hasn't even been in the squad. So if anyone's playing centre-back,
it'll be Lowry.
It's Lowry.
Lowry came on against Adelaide.
Well, did he? Sorry.
Yeah, just late for a few minutes.
Okay, yeah. Like, that doesn't count, but... while technically correct you are, Mr. McIntosh, my point stands in that
he's not played a lot of minutes. Yeah.
It's essentially cost him his place on the team, and he'll be fine to get back into it. And he was that guy that was starting quite a few in a row. Mm. So I think we just got back to him. Mm. Doesn't make much sense to go elsewhere.
Yeah, but if you're going to put Kakache there, I think they will, because of we're playing the Mariners, I think they will do Mitch Nichols and Copper.
I think you're right, but I think that this is make or break for Mitch Nichols. This is his last chance to be playing starting 11 A-League football anywhere in the competition.
Yes, I agree.
If he can't make this poster winner, forget it.
Yep.
Basically, he's no use to us.
He's got to take his chance here.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know he'll be disparate. He's definitely hasn't picked up – I don't think he's picked up any yellows. If he has, it might be one, so he can certainly throw himself about.
He hasn't played much, so I don't think he would have.
But
– he gave away a goal on round one.
He's not a defensive midfielder, though.
No, he isn't. He can't read the game at all, and that's why I would rather have Kikuchi.
Yeah.
He might be a good runner. He might be willing. He just can't read a game defensively.
Score predictions around the table?
I think this is going to be a 2-1 victory.
Fair enough.
3-2 to the Knicks.
See, I think it's going to be 1-1. I think it's not going to be the 3 points that we're all hoping for.
I think it's going to be a real struggle, but I think if we get into one of these kind of ding-dong back and forth, I think that we'll come out better because I don't think that Mariners have got the firepower.
Yeah, despite the midfield problems and the potential rejig that needs to happen in the defence, I don't think we do rejig the defence. I think we leave it as it is and plug the holes in the midfield elsewhere. But we still have the same attacking lineup. Exactly. We still have Singh and Williams, Krishna.
I think Killian comes in.
Yeah,
Killian straight in for Williams.
Yeah, it's rough on Williams, but
I don't think that he. I don't think he plays. I don't think he starts. I think he comes on to replace Williams, but I think it happens early. I think it happens 55 minutes in the game.
I'd run Killian for 60-odd minutes and then let Williams run at a tired defence because Williams has wheels.
Mm-hmm. So does Killian, though.
No.
He's faster than I expected him to be.
He's faster than you expect him to be, but he doesn't have wheels. He's not a long-distance merchant.
He's not Burns, Williams, Krishna's kind of...
I thought he absolutely matched Burns.
No, not even close.
He's no Williams or Krishna, but I thought he was... much quicker than I thought he was going to be, and Burns isn't that quick.
No, I disagree. Just and that Burns is not faster than Williams and Krishna.
But even if Burns is quick, he's got nothing at the end of it, so there's no point to being quick.
I think that when the game is more structured at the beginning, when everyone's not tired, I think having a structured player able to play at the pointy end.
Like Killian,
a guy who can hold the ball up and pass it, I think that's going to make... much of a difference. I think Williams, he can take advantage of the open play a little more.
I just think he needs another week in camp before he starts. And I think if he had done that a week before he officially signed, I'd be happy with it. But
I would normally agree with you, but just his ability to find the link players in that 20 minutes, but he just seemed to know, be able to read the game that much better than everyone else. So I'd say give him a run in front of the home crowd against the bottom team who hasn't just, you know.
Yeah, you were right. There are two games tonight as we record on Wednesday night. Adelaide taking on Melbourne Victory, and then Perth Glory hosting Sydney FC. So
I think it's a midnight kickoff.
That's
what it looks like. It'll be tomorrow. Yeah.
But those teams taking points off each other will be nice.
Mainly Victory taking off Adelaide.
Hopefully, Melbourne City hosts the Raw on Friday night, 9:50 PM. After our game on Saturday, Melbourne Victory hosts the Jets. Sydney FC host Adelaide at Sunday at 8 PM for some reason, and then Perth host the Wanderers at Sunday at 10 PM for some reason. Well, strange kickoff times for us.
The Perth are at home, so it's quite a late.
Oh, it makes sense. But usually it's 7 or 7:30 or 8 PM.
They're learning that 6 o'clock kickoff is just that little bit better than 7.
5:30 kickoff, and sorry, it is in Sydney, not in Adelaide. But yeah, maybe wet bulb. Yeah, that's that. Should we talk about some handy prem?
Yeah, it's a good idea.
T-Dubs had a 2-1.
Yeah.
2-1 over Hamilton Wanderers. You were there, Cam? Were you there, Frosty?
No, mate, it wasn't.
No, I wasn't either. Talk us through it, Cam.
I think T-Dubs were incredibly rusty.
Which is fair.
Yeah. And obviously they had a fair bit of travel just before Christmas. So
not used to a pitch without dust on it.
Not used to not playing in front of 20,000 people, I guess. Yeah. But... I'm actually struggling to remember the goals in this game at all for any of the teams, but overriding impression was that Hamilton were really unlucky not to get a point from the game. They had plenty of opportunities to score. There was some decent defence and some good work from Scott Basile, bit of scrambling as well. Hamilton were not the Hamilton I remember watching from last season.
No, they're absolutely not.
Season they've been getting results.
They're sitting in fifth. They're only a point behind the playoff places, which is the opposite of last year.
They were in fourth prior to this game. Yeah. So Ricky's done amazing things.
Ricky
with
or
team.
Kale?
Ricky was there on the sidelines. Okay. He was making all the calls. He was the
joke about how everyone says that his son runs.
Yep.
Hamilton.
He's just a figurehead. But yeah. I'm going to give credit where it's due.
Fair.
I think it's got to fall there. So... yeah, I just think we needed to get the cobwebs out, and that's probably done it. And we're back to normal T-Dubs this weekend.
Hawke's Bay beat the Wenix 4-1. Ben Wayne getting the one for Louis Nixon, two of the goals coming in stoppage time at the end. Sam Mason-Smith with a hat-trick there for Hawke's Bay.
I remember the T-Dubs goals now.
Oh, great. We've moved on. Eastern Suburbs absolutely smashed Southern United 6-1.
Yeah, that was in Southern as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was a away performance.
Was that their one TV game?
No.
Is that this week?
They've already had their one TV game.
Yeah, it's been and gone. Did you not hear the big build-up from Southern United?
They were away.
Yeah.
It was their one TV game. They were away.
Andre de Jong, Callum McGowart, Wooldridge and Eli Just getting the goals before the comeback started a little bit late in the 85th minute via a penalty for Southern. Auckland City had a 2-0 win over Waitakere, which is a bit of a shame, but Waitakere are no longer the team they used to be, unfortunately. Two goals to Iglesias. I've not seen much of Auckland City at all this season. So,
does anyone know if Hudson Wihongi played?
No idea.
Because there was the him and Gully trialling.
Were they?
Not trialling. They were training.
Training with the Phoenix, yeah.
With the Knicks.
And Canterbury United on tally had a 1-0 win over Tasman United. That puts the table with Auckland on top. Auckland and Team Wellington, Southern and Will Wenix all only played 9 games, so they're a game down. But Auckland on top with 27 points, 22 points for Eastern Suburbs, 20 points for T-Dubs, 18 for Canterbury, rounds out the top four. So Auckland are miles ahead already. It's ridiculous. 9 games, 9 wins.
Two more wins and they've pretty much got the title sewn up already.
Yeah. 9 games, 9 wins is impressive.
Yeah.
Hamilton on 16, the 2 points behind, not one, like I said. Hawke's Bay, 14, a little bit drop to Southern on 10. Waitaki on 7, Tasman on 4, and the Phoenix reserves still on donuts down the bottom. Although that might change this weekend. They host Eastern Suburbs, so probably not.
I feel it mightn't change this weekend.
No.
But I'll be there shooting it just a minute.
Exactly. Worst case scenario, assessment sweet goals. Yeah. Hamilton hosting Tasman, Canterbury hosting Hawke's Bay, Team Wellington at home again hosting Waitakere, and Auckland City hosting Southern. So probably you'd say, that other than the Canterbury versus Hawke's Bay game, you know how they're going to go. But that is the pod for this week. Unless there are pressing matters that anybody would like to raise at the table, I shall wrap us up. That was pod 161 in the bag. We're getting up there.
We almost passed the
zone.
Predecessors.
Oh, yeah.
We shouldn't call them by name once we go past them.
Bleep
just call
out,
them the
please.
Predecessors.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I already have to bleep out your swear words. So,
you might as well bleep out that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they got to 167, so we're 6 weeks away from passing them. So
far out.
Yeah.
That's
pretty cray cray.
Freaky, actually.
I said the words cray cray, which I'm never going to do again on a podcast.
No, bleep that out.
Or in general life
as
ever.
Well.
Yes. We should have wrapped this up before I say something else I'm going to regret later.
Isn't that the story of your podcast life?
Yeah, probably. Yep. 161 episodes of saying things that I probably shouldn't have.
Yep.
Thank you for listening very much. That's not how you say English. Goodbye, everybody. Bye.
'Trick fucking up the outro brings you
Tay Tay gone cray cray brings you.
But isn't that pay?
pay.
Pay go cray cray brings you. Grinding out a point brings you. Nicking 4 points brings you.
Mark Rudan versus Slaps McGee brings you.
Slaps McGee 2, the Rudening brings you.
Oh, Mandy, you came and you volleyed our Vinny. Now you're gonna sit out, oh Mandy. Brings you.
Yeah, please make sure you cut all that.